Please turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we want to read verse 8. Just before Jesus was arrested, he prayed a very beautiful prayer that's recorded in John chapter 17. But prior to that, Jesus had some things to say to his disciples that are recorded in chapters 14, 15, and 16. And in this particular part of the Lord's comments, he talked to them about the importance of abiding in him and bearing fruit. John 15 and verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." This morning we covered a number of passages that reveal a program for good spiritual health. Good spiritual health consists of a proper diet. The Bible says to desire the sincere milk of the Word. A program for good spiritual health also includes exercise. And the Bible teaches us to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Good spiritual health is not achieved by accident. It requires effort. And the Bible reveals a very important program for us to follow. Well, according to what Jesus said in this verse that we just read from John chapter 15, good spiritual health, that is, being in good standing with God, includes bearing much fruit. In our lesson, we want to examine the 9 very special characteristics that make up what is commonly called the fruit of the Spirit. So turn to Galatians chapter 5, and let's read verses 22 and 23. Jesus emphasized the importance of bearing much fruit. There's much involved in bearing fruit, but part of it involves producing the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit consists of these 9 very special characteristics. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." My, wouldn't our world be a much better place if more people would put the proper amount of effort into developing those characteristics? Our society today is suffering from a lack of these characteristics. Nevertheless, the Bible teaches us that in order to have good spiritual health, it's important for us to bear much fruit, and a very important part of that is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Before we look at these 9 characteristics, though, we want to consider 4 general principles revealed in the Bible that have to do with bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, these are 4 principles that we need to be mindful of as we then turn our attention to those very special characteristics. These are in no particular order of importance because they're all important, but we have to begin somewhere. This is the first principle that we need to be mindful of, and that is, when we become children of God, we are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 for a moment and read verses 6 through 10. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 6. "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Now, you know as well as I do that many people in the world today look down on these nine characteristics. Many people do not consider them to be very important at all. However, God considers them to be very special. According to these verses in Ephesians 5, when we bear the fruit of the Spirit, we show to others that we have turned from darkness to light. We also, by bearing the fruit of the Spirit, meet God's approval. Now, something is necessary for meeting God's approval. We need to give it our best attention. And by bearing the fruit of the Spirit, not only do we indicate to others that we've turned from darkness to light, but we actually meet with God's approval. Well, that certainly ought to be a matter of utmost importance to us. So when we become children of God, and remember this letter, Ephesians, was written to people in Ephesus who had become Christians, and Paul instructed them about the importance of bearing the fruit of the Spirit. When we become children of God, we have a very important responsibility, that is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Keep that principle in mind as we think about what Jesus said about bearing much fruit in John 15 and verse 8. But let's consider a second principle revealed in the Bible that has to do with bearing fruit. As we do so, let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and consider what Jesus had to say in verses 43, 44, and 45. This was the Lord speaking during his ministry. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 43. He indicated that a tree is recognized by the fruit that it bears. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. We understand this from nature that a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now that's just one of those natural laws that's unmistakable. Everybody understands that. Was Jesus really talking about trees and the fruit that they bear? No, that was the illustration. He was actually talking about the things that we say and the things that we do. You see, they come forth from the heart. The things that we say and do indicate what kind of tree we are. You see, by inspecting the fruit that a person is producing, you can tell something about the condition of his heart. So a tree is recognized by the fruit that it bears. Right across from our house, of course, is another house that has several oak trees in the front yard. And one particular one, for some reason, is dropping thousands of tiny acorns. And I see so many on the ground. They're not full grown. They're just barely beginning to develop. I don't know why they're dropping. I think surely there can't be any left in the tree, but I look up and it's still full. So I assume in a relatively short time there's going to be a bumper crop of acorns from that particular tree. But there's one thing I know about that tree. It's an oak. It's not a pine. It's not a magnolia. There's a magnolia close to it. It's an oak tree. How do I know that? Because it produces acorns. Well, we understand that from nature, but Jesus often referred to natural laws to illustrate spiritual lessons that he was teaching. A tree is recognized by the fruit that it bears. He was talking about the things that we do, the things that we say. They come forth from the heart. You see, that's the fruit that we bear, and that's an indication of what kind of tree we are. A third principle has to do with the law of sowing and reaping. Now, that is an undisputed law of nature. I keep waiting for someone to try to dispute the law of sowing and reaping, but I don't believe it's ever going to happen. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, let's read verses 7 and 8. You see, this law, the law of sowing and reaping, applies to the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now we have a choice. We can choose to sow to the flesh. Sowing to the flesh results in the works of the flesh. Well, what are they? Look at chapter 5, beginning at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, we can make the choice of sowing to the flesh, or we can choose to sow to the Spirit. One who sows to the Spirit is going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, these 9 very special characteristics that we'll be looking at in just a few moments. But these verses teach us that we will reap on the basis of how we sow. So the law of sowing and reaping relates to bearing the fruit of the Spirit. It's important that we sow correctly. We have to make the proper choice. And then there's a fourth principle that we need to keep in mind as we study these characteristics that make up the fruit of the Spirit. We've already read it in John 15 and verse 8. And in this verse, Jesus requires his followers to bear much fruit. He said that this brings glory unto God. It also identifies us as the Lord's followers. Let's read it again. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Remember, Jesus was about to send his apostles out on the Great Commission. And it would be important for them to remember these things that he taught them in chapters 14, 15, and 16. He gave them some very helpful instructions. He also provided them with a tremendous amount of encouragement. But he indicated that as they went forth doing his will, that others would be able to identify them as his disciples on the basis of the fruit that they bore. He said, you need to bear much fruit. That will identify you as my disciples. It also brings glory unto the Father. Well, these are 4 very important principles revealed in the Bible that relate to bearing the fruit of the Spirit. When we become children of God, we are responsible for bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We need to remember that a tree is recognized by the fruit that it bears. We need to keep in mind that the law of sowing and reaping applies to the fruit of the Spirit. That's why the Bible teaches us to sow to the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. The natural result will be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And then we need to remember that Christ requires his followers to bear much fruit. Now, having covered those 4 general principles, let's turn our attention now to those 9 special characteristics that make up the fruit of the Spirit. Notice how this list begins. The fruit of the Spirit is, number one, love. Now, the Bible discusses several different types of love. There's brotherly love. That's an affectionate type of love that brothers and sisters in the Lord have for one another. It's a very special kind of love. But it's based on the relationship that people have with the Father. And the Bible says, let brotherly love continue. This is not the kind of love, though, that is under consideration in the fruit of the Spirit. This is the kind of love that is addressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the kind of love that seeks the welfare of other people in all situations, even though sacrifice might be involved. Well, let's read the description of this kind of love that's included in the fruit of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 13, we will start at verse 4. Remember, there are 15 characteristics listed here. Some are negative and some are positive. Charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is from the Great Love chapter of the Bible. But I learned a long time ago the hard way that oftentimes, not all the time, but quite often, those who talk the most about love know the least about it. Many people have the idea that love just means overlooking what is done by someone else without doing anything about it. True love will lead one to try to correct what is wrong in the right spirit. Some people have the idea that love just means not getting involved with other people. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches about love. So I learned a long time ago, not always, but quite often, those who talk the most about love really know the least about it. But the fruit of the Spirit is, number one, love. And it's described for us in this very beautiful way in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I've always thought it was interesting that the fruit of the Spirit begins with love. The Christian graces listed in 2 Peter chapter 1 conclude with love. I've always liked to point out that love could be considered to be the Alpha and the Omega, that is, the beginning and the end. It's the very first characteristic in the fruit of the Spirit. It's the last characteristic in the Christian graces. Now, that ought to say something to us. Number two, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy is an inner peace of mind that a person experiences because he has a right relationship with God. It's not based on how well things are going in our lives. Well, what does the Bible say in Philippians 4 and verse 4? It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It sounds sort of contradictory, but it really isn't once we understand what true joy is. But we can actually be filled with joy while shedding tears. Because you see, we shed tears normally. Sometimes there are happy tears, but we normally shed tears because of some sad experience. But the Bible teaches that at the same time we still are to be filled with joy. The Bible speaks about joy in the sense of being happy outwardly, and that's a good type of joy. We love to have it. We'd like to have more of it. But we all know that life is not all happiness. That's just the way that it is. Solomon says there's a time to laugh, there's a time to mourn. That's just part of living this life. Well, we can be shedding tears and still be filled with joy because, you see, it's based on having a right relationship with God. It's something that's on the inside. It's an inner peace of mind. It was a long time before I did a word study on joy and saw that to be the case. Because I thought to myself, how does the Bible teach us to rejoice always? But many times our hearts are broken, we're sad, and we shed tears. Well, I just had to learn what true joy is. Thankfully, we have good reference books to help us learn what joy is. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy number 3 is peace. Peace is demonstrated for us in Romans 12 and verse 18. Romans 12 and verse 18 is a wonderful word of instruction. If it be possible. That means give something your very best shot. Give it all that you have. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now that can be a challenge. And you know, we even read in the Bible about people who are not at peace with one another. But the Bible tells it like it is. We're to go the extra mile to be at peace with, my Bible says, all men. Does yours? I think it does. That requires great effort, and it can be a tremendous challenge. But as I understand it, this passage means you be at peace with others. And if you can't be at peace with them, make sure it's their fault and not yours. Well, I believe that's the meaning of the passage. As much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, the next characteristic, I believe, will help us to be at peace with all men. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering or patience. I believe patience will go a long way toward helping us be at peace with all men. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and read a few verses beginning at verse 1. Ephesians 4 beginning at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you notice how long-suffering is commanded here? It's a very important ingredient in keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Number 5 is gentleness. I want you to notice how gentleness is included in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now this has to do with something that Titus was responsible for teaching the new Christians who lived in the island of Crete. The people in Crete had a very bad reputation, but the gospel was taken there and a number of people became Christians. Titus was the evangelist on Crete, helping people learn the Lord's will. He was responsible for conducting himself properly, but also Paul wrote to him about things he was responsible for teaching others. I assume from what is said about the Cretans in chapter 1, and Paul says this witness is true, that the people were involved in all types of rude behavior. Well, notice what these new Christians were responsible for doing. This is what Titus was to teach them. Titus 3, verses 1 and 2. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Gentleness is a very important ingredient in the fruit of the Spirit. Next is goodness. And to help us understand what's involved in goodness, let's look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." That passage helps us understand what is involved in goodness as it is included in the fruit of the Spirit. As we have opportunity, to take advantage of those opportunities to do good unto all men. Next is faith, or actually faithfulness. I've always liked to point out that a steward, that is someone in charge of taking care of someone else's goods, has one main requirement, and it's revealed in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, if I had someone in charge of looking after my estate, first off, it wouldn't take him very much effort to do that. But if I had someone in charge of looking after my estate, I would want him to be considered as faithful. If he wasn't faithful, I would not want him in charge of my goods. Well, the Bible teaches that we are stewards. The Lord gives us our blessings, and we're responsible to Him for how we use those blessings. That includes our talents and our abilities as well. But faith, or faithfulness, is an important part of the fruit of the Spirit. And remember, the Lord requires us to be faithful to receive the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10, the church in Smyrna was told, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Next is meekness. There are many passages in the Bible that have to do with meekness. But let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and read verses 12 and 13. Earlier in this chapter, Paul has written about some things that are to be put off and mortified. That means put to death. Having done that, we're told to put on certain characteristics. Let's read about one that we're to put on. Verses 12 and 13 of Colossians 3. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." I heard a lesson on meekness years ago, and the speaker gave a definition of meekness that's always stuck with me. Meekness can be described as strength under control. Jesus was meek. He said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." Was Jesus weak? No, he was quite strong, but he was always controlled. What about Moses? He was described as the meekest man on the earth. Now, there was one time when he lost control of his meekness, and it kept him out of the promised land. But can you imagine all that Moses put up with during that 40 years as he led the Israelites from Egypt up to the promised land? He was indeed a very meek man, but that one occasion when he wasn't, it cost him dearly. Moses was a great man. He was a patient man. He was a meek man. But Moses shows us that sometimes we can lose our meekness, and there's a penalty for that. But the fruit of the Spirit includes meekness or strength under control. Then finally is temperance or self-controlled. That's also included in the Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1. Well, these are 9 very special characteristics: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, and temperance or self-control. Well, let's remember what Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 44. He said, "Every tree is known by his own fruit." Now, what we need to do is some self-examination with this question. Based on the fruit that I bear, what kind of tree am I? You see, the kind of tree that we are is an indication of our spiritual health. Good spiritual health includes bearing much fruit. A part of bearing much fruit is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And when we possess these 9 very special characteristics and others see us demonstrating those characteristics, we'll have a positive influence upon those who are observing our behavior. And that's what we're concerned about. Well, if you'd like to respond to the invitation, we'd invite you to do so as we stand to sing the first verse of the song that's been selected.